Good evening. And now, the Inspirational Quarterly.
Hello, 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 hello. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Inspirational Quarterly, the world's most beloved podcast dedicated to the overlapping fandoms of the literary works of Keith R.A. DeCandido and Mike Stucca. I'm your co-host, Davey Reedon, and joining me today, as always, is Kara Ellison. Hello, Kara. How are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing pretty well. You know, just like reveling in the fact that, you know, we're going to have a thrill ride in the next, what is it, like 4 pages or something?
Ooh, it's going to be a spicy 4 pages.
It's spicy.
And coming from us, who have read a lot of this book in chunks of 4 pages, I think we are prepared to know when a 4-page section is going to be spicy.
Oh, yeah.
Any news in the world of Mike Stucca? Any updates on what he's up to?
Well, let me do a quick
check my Google filter for Mike Stucca news.
On Mike Stucca.
My Google alert. Yeah, exactly.
My Google alerts tell me that he is still the National Data Solutions Editor at USA Today, where he's been focused on coronavirus, natural language generation, and automation. You can also find his adorable but troublesome pet on Twitter as Jerk Dog.
What?
Jerk Dog is on Twitter.
Kara, how did we talk about Mike Stucca for 2 full episodes and you somehow Mike Stucca's Jerk Dog Twitter account never came up?
You
dove pretty deep into Mike Stucca.
Buried the lead there.
Yeah, really talk about burying the lead. Okay, I know we've got a book to read, but hang on. What is it? Twitter? What is it?
I think it's like jerk. Like it's jerk. Is it jerk underscore dog or it's jerk.
You're reading it.
Yeah, it's
you're the one reading it.
It's jerk underscore dog. He didn't post jerk on Twitter account. He just, you know.
Jerk underscore dog profile or the bio is I'm a jerk and a dog.
And he has one tweet.
one single tweet. And that tweet is retweeting Mike Stucca's Twitter thread describing the origins of Jerk Dog.
Oh. What are the origins of Jerk Dog? Wait, let's read the origins of Jerk Dog.
All right, we read the origins of Jerk Dog? All right.
This one begins with a girl who broke up a marriage and started another. She was always so ladylike and will always be grateful in so many ways for the dog we sometimes called Bud. And when she and another dog got me and a different lady meeting, things seemed to work out. And then came a baby and Bud stepped right in. I'm guessing the dog is not actually called Jerk Dog, but in fact called Bud.
I think? What? This is, okay, see Mike, okay, hang on. Mike Stucca, you can't see this at home, but Mike Stucca is inserting quote tweets into the middle of this thread, quoting other tweets that he has written about Jerk Dog and his life, and it's a real all over the place kind of House of Leaves sort of narrative here.
I really feel like maybe Mike's forte is probably not tweets.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It's like this is for the man who's singularly upholding literary excellence in the contemporary world. This is a real kind of scattershot Twitter thread here. But maybe okay, you know how it's like, all right, like for my work, I write story for video games, you know? I don't want to go home from that and then, like, consume more dense, elaborate story or write more dense, elaborate story. I want to do something really stupid and mind-numbing that takes my mind off of it, right?
Okay, but, like, so we are reading a novel professionally in our spare
time. Okay, all right. I see the point you're getting at. But let me add a couple of asterisks onto that statement. That's a real liberal interpretation of the word read.
Well, I don't know what else we were doing, but reading it.
I know, but I'm just saying. So to say that this is a podcast where we read the novel is a pretty loose interpretation of the word read. Second, we are at the end of the book, and I'm ready to be done.
Okay.
So
we've had enough with reading in general.
Even okay, we barely read this book, and I'm still sick of it.
Oh my god. So
all that is to say that maybe when Mike Stucka comes home after a hard day of organizing narrative into a thoughtful and coherent and cohesive piece of work that flows and has integrity and intention and punches when it needs to and pulls back when it needs to. Maybe after all that, he just wants to fucking write a stupid Twitter thread that weaves in and out of other tweets with no particular coherence about his jerk dog, right?
Yeah.
Cool with me.
I don't understand. Like, okay, so wait. So this one begins with a girl who broke up a marriage and started another. So basically, is that like, did this jerk dog ruin his first marriage?
If we get into this, it's going to lower my opinion of Mike Stucker writing. We can't do this. We can't do this.
I can't with this. Like, did he like call his dog a jerk because like his partner didn't like the dog that he chose? Like, I'm like, I don't know what to think about that. Like, I mean, just don't get a dog. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know, Mike. I mean, okay. Like,
just we're not going to touch it. Okay.
Okay.
Mike Stucka, it's all intentional. Whatever feeling, whatever emotion you're having now as a result of this Twitter thread, it was intentional. And that's, there will be no other discussion about it.
Yeah.
It's part of his artistic intent that you feel whatever you're feeling right now.
Right.
And that's it. End of conversation. We're not going to unpack that any further.
It reached us. That's enough.
It had its impact.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But what's confusing to me personally is the fact that Jerk Dog like has a picture of like the jerk dog in question on the Twitter profile picture. And then Mike Stucka also has a picture of Jerk Dog as his Twitter profile.
Is it the same dog? It looks like a different dog to me.
Maybe it is a different dog.
Like the picture in Mike Stucka's profile, Twitter profile, looks like a different dog than the picture in Jerk Dog's profile.
Oh, wait, like, okay, so his Twitter profile bio says, dad, doofus, data dork, now Florida man, coffee tastes absolutely horrible.
It's all intentional, and I won't hear otherwise. It's all a part, it's all a part of the artistic intent that you feel what you're feeling right now.
I just, Mike, like, I don't know what to think about these things. I mean,
Mike, again, I can't emphasize this enough. At work, Mike has to be coherent and thoughtful and craft works with immaculate integrity. When he comes home in his personal spare time, he's a fucking loose cannon. He's all over the place. He's a scattershot, whimsical pixie man of impossible, unknowable opinions and thoughts, right?
Right.
That's fine by me. I don't mind. That's what it takes for, you know, some of the most vital reporting in America to get done. You want to be that guy when you go home? God bless, Mike. You know, that's my opinion on it.
Right. I just actually checked to see if, like, I thought that maybe Mike Stucka might have more followers than me, so I had to check.
Does he?
No, he doesn't. I thought he might. Oh, man.
Suck it, Mike Stucka.
I know.
Well, this has been the Mike Stucka Report. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of updates on what's happening in the world of Mike Stucca. And I guess that just leaves us with the StarCraft Ghost Nova, the 2006 novel by USA Today bestselling author Keith R.A. DeCandido. Kara, we are about halfway through the epilogue, and it's been a heck of an epilogue so far.
Dang, yeah. I mean,
what all do you want to remind us what has happened in the epilogue up to this point?
I mean, frankly, I can't remember. It's all a blur, but let me just okay, so she's in the jungles of Tirador 8, is that
one of them?
Yeah. And she's like trying to figure out the best way to kill Cliff Nadunner. Yep. And you know, we're basically back at the start of the book, because that's actually kind of where we joined her with, you know, like this bacon suit, and you know, you remember all that nonsense with the bacon suit.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good time.
Yeah, really, about bacon like, suit. That was when we were young, so much younger.
Yeah, God, it does feel like a long, long time ago. It
actually feels like 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, so she's basically like going through the jungle, and she's like gonna, she basically got to Cliff Nadunner, right? She's right. That's where we are right now.
Yeah. That she got to his hatch,
yeah,
and dropped down into his thing and then killed all of the people inside. Remember?
Yeah.
Steve and Pratik and Sephmi and Ivana and Ray and Gerardo, all of them, she put all of them into death state.
Yeah. And like basically got Nadunner to like get down on his knees and start crying.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's crying.
And she's like, yeah, he's crying. He's like, no, never do it again.
Right.
And and Nova's here like, bitch, I'm the protagonist of a video game. This is not going to go well for you.
Yeah, I'm getting my whole, I'm getting my own whole video game. You don't even
Blizzard is making a whole video game just about me, and it's going to fucking kick ass when it comes out. It's going to be the hottest game that's ever been played by video gamers, and it's like right around the corner. It's almost done.
Yeah. And, you know, she's like, it'll show you.
It'll show you. When you play StarCraft Ghost, the video game, you're going to be like, wow, I actually want to get killed by this woman because she's badass.
Yeah, it's going to be really something.
Like a real privilege.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's where we are. She's right there. And she's thinking she wants to freaking murder him. So that's where we are. Page 300.
Page 300, baby.
300. She had walked over to him intending to blow Nadunner's head off with the assault rifle, but now she decided he wasn't worth the bullets. Can you give me my life back? She asked. I guess she's like Valley Girl, so she's like, can you get me my life back?
The way you say that, though, it makes it sound like she's, because what I think she's going for is, and what, you know, would be the cool action hero thing would be like,
you give me my life back.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of thing. But I like the idea that her Valley Girl state of mind is literally like she's still holding out hope, you know,
like wondering if that
she's sincerely wondering, like, is that actually an option? Like back in the back there, yeah. Do you have my life.
You have my family back there.
Is my family back? Like, she's just holding out hope that possibly this guy is like, got everything, you know, he's got them all just, like, chilling on couches and, you know, drinking Snapples and whatever.
Yeah, it's like, there. You know, what do you call it? Like, a, like, Family Feud back there? Like, they're all just back there, you know?
Yeah. Right, you know, they're playing Sorry or whatever, right?
And then like it seems like Nadunner also thinks that interpretation, because he's like, huh? No, I mean, I can get you money or
yeah. Next thing is he has to sit and think to himself, like, wait, did I bring Nova Terra's family with me and have them secretly in the back? Because that would be super convenient if I did. And he's like, shit, no, I don't, but I do have money.
Nova killed him is the next sentence. That's it. You know, Nova killed him. That's the sentence.
Yeah, that's the tweet. Send tweet.
That's the tweet. That's the Mike stuck a tweet.
That's the tweet Mike stuck is sending out.
Nova killed him. Basically, that's it for Nate Aner. That's all he deserves is one 3-word sentence.
Yeah.
Before his bleeding through the eyes body could even hit the floor of this underground bunker, Nova had turned around and walked back to the hatch. Telekinetically lifting herself up to the surface, she then paused to catch her breath. Carrying her own weight was always tricky, and she couldn't do it for very long as it required a high level of focus. It was certainly nothing she'd try in a fight. She activated the comm unit that had lain dormant since she got in the drop pod and said only 2 words. It's finished.
She is the action hero now. Yeah. I wonder if that's a part of what they teach you at the Ghost Academy.
Like the one-liners?
Cool one-liners, yeah. Like, and maybe she had to practice, can you give me my life back a bunch to like work the Valley Girl kind of slowly out of it or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think because like, she's like doing a lot of telekinesis and stuff, she like says the one-liner, heads up, a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No? What would be a good heads up is good, but it's like if you're saying if like a thing is falling on someone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's good, but like that could be, I don't know, like anything could fall on a person, right? But I guess if you're telekinetic, that is a pretty good way of doing it. Like what would be another good one? It'd be like you know, lost your footing as she like floats the person up into the air and then punches them through the face or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that's an idea.
You have to think about lots of like one-liners to do with like debris falling on you, you know?
But is it just falling? Because it seems like the telekinetic thing, and she's not even using, Nova hasn't used like telekinesis to actually do shit. She just blows up people's brains.
Yeah,
right? I mean,
she's doing a lot of like exploding people, isn't she? She's more like, you know, like, watch out you don't like short circuit.
She made Marcus shoot Fagin, remember that?
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
like that
yeah.
wasn't that the thing that she made Marcus shoot Fagin?
Yeah.
So, you know, in that case, you know, she could say like, well, Fagin, I guess your person is killing, there's no good
one-liner
for this situation. No. I guess it's just falling. I guess just debris falling is
before Nate Aner dies, she could have said something like, this situation is about to get explosive.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know.
No. Here's what she does. Here's what she does. She's like, hey, Nate Aner. I've got, what was she? Okay, she'd say like, hey, Nate Aner, want to hear something that's going to make your brain explode? And then she explodes his brain, literally.
Why is it that like, I can only see this airing on Fox? Like, I don't know, it just seems like a Fox cable show.
No. Here's what she does. Here's what she does. This is perfect. Okay, Blizzard, if for some reason you're still workshopping StarCraft Ghost content, reach out to me about this. But here's what she does. She goes, because brain exploding is like her specialty, right? Like she's really good at that.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
So, but right before she explodes someone's brain, she always goes, hey, want to hear something that's going to make your head explode? And then she goes, and does like a funny sound and then makes the brain explode. And for her, it's like the sound that she made is so cool or weird that their head explodes, you know? But then she can do a different noise every time, you know? She can be like, hey, want to hear something that's making your head explode? And like does a funny, you know, like, pop kind of thing, right? And then she makes, and then every time there's a different, she makes a different kind of, you know, noise, like a or something. And then it's like, you know, it's a never ending well of noises that she can make. And for her, it's always hilarious because she's like, oh, I did the funny mouth thing and then he exploded. Right?
I mean, I guess like, I mean, maybe if she is just a teen girl, maybe she would just do that.
She is literally a teen girl. She is literally a teen girl. How have we not gotten this through our goddamn
heads? I've never met like a teen girl murderer before, so like I guess okay. But yeah.
She is literally a teenage girl who kills people with her mind. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay,
that's literally, okay. Literally are the situation we're in right now.
For sure.
So again, Blizzard, you want to talk about my cool idea for Nova's catchphrase?
Why don't they put us in charge of the franchise, Davey?
We've asked this like so many times.
You're
on this
podcast.
You're
going to get a call any day now. Any
We've
day.
Asked this so many times.
News is going to hit Mike Stucca and he's going to have to report it.
Oh my God. Gonna come across Mike Stucca's desk. Let me just also touch on the fact that Nova has this assault rifle and somehow just decides not to shoot him. Like, why did you bring an assault rifle when we've talked about this 1,000 times already? But you know that her first method in is always like, well, better. I should always start with the assault rifle rather than killing people instantaneously with her mind.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Though she's like, oh, like bullets or like just like effortless mind control. You know, like
which one today?
Yeah.
Which one do I want today?
I'm sure the
video game explains this.
I mean, I'm sure it does.
I'm sure she's got like an energy meter or something.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Probably something like that.
Probably like a limitation Keith had to work with. Like, you know, he was just like professionally explaining. Or trying to, but yeah.
I don't feel like he, I mean, I don't know, whatever. Maybe, I'm sure there's an explanation.
Okay, so next in the book it says, now it's really over. Nadaner's dead, and soon, for all intents and purposes, I will be too.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, she's gonna be like,
yeah.
Okay, my work is done. I can now die happily. Things are fine. I avenged my family, you know. Maybe she'll just like dig her own grave, then get in it, and then telekinetically kill herself. And then she's essentially like, just like, you know, it's neat, you know?
Yeah. Like, and again, they're going to wipe her brain when she gets back from this mission, right? Like, that's the idea, is that they're going to wipe her memory. And, which is great. Good for you, Nova. You know, you do you.
Yeah.
But, and I'm just saying it is a literal possibility that she could also just throw herself off a cliff here or something, right?
Yeah.
The idea that Nova is like, I want to be dead either way, but at least if I let them wipe my brain, then I'll get to become a superhuman murder machine for fascists.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, no, preserve, like, get my brain out of there, you know, get all my pesky thoughts and memories out, but keep that body that will do a really great job enforcing empirical law.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want to make sure my body sticks around for that.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what's gonna happen here. Let's see.
Let's read on.
Yeah. 6 days ago, people claiming to be working with the Korprulu Liberation Front, an organization dedicated to the overthrow of Emperor Mengsk, had taken over a munitions factory on New Sydney. Oh, Aussies.
Oh, I might. We've got guns.
I mean, it's not even the level of Dick Van Dyke. It's like somehow it's, I don't know, it's gone into a worse Cockney, even.
And you fire these bloody fuckers.
Oh my god.
Is this the holding end or the shooting end?
Does this mean that they also have, like, all the Aussie, like, animals that want to kill you? You know, like, all those spiders and shit, and, like, you know, the kangaroos that punch you to death? Like, is that, like, is there a space version of that, or?
Maybe drop bears are a real thing in the StarCraft world.
Oh, maybe.
You know?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, because everyone had makes jokes. Like, okay, because you know how people in our world joke about, like, Australia's upside down, right?
Hmm.
Is, do they have, in StarCraft, do they joke that Space Australia is upside down?
Or maybe it really is upside down, you know, because
it's literally, right, like, it literally is an upside down place.
Yeah, like, upside down, like, literally, the, like, gravity is upside down.
Like, a gravity, like, yeah, like, there's a reverse gravitational field that is sticking them to ceilings and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and people grow, right, kind of, like, landscape instead of, like, growing, like...
Well, because of all the, you know, dangerous animals that have overtaken the ground,
yeah,
portions,
yeah,
of the world.
Yeah.
The drop bears and everything that now roam so freely, right?
Yeah, like, don't they have syphilis as well? Like, they're, like, so weird. They're, like...
Drop bears?
Yeah.
Drop bears aren't a real thing.
No, but I thought they were, like, you know, people were just, like, were making up things to call koalas or whatever.
Yeah, right. No, that koalas do have syphilis, but drop bears aren't real. Drop bears are a made-up thing that you talk about Australia.
Oh,
you're like, oh, drop bears, right? Ha 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 ha. And then you know, bring up drop bears on your podcast and, you know, as a joke, that kind of thing.
I, like, honestly just thought that, like, drop bears refer to koalas because koalas drop, like, fall off trees a lot, which they actually do.
Yeah, but I believe it's a different thing. I believe.
Well, I just wanted to mention that koalas fall off trees by accident a lot, and also they have syphilis.
They do have syphilis, like, yes,
idiots.
That's correct.
Like,
yeah.
Idiots.
And in StarCraft world, they have space syphilis.
Well, exactly, which is a worse or just as bad type of syphilis.
It's syphilis, but more of it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. What are the main symptoms of syphilis? Like, your penis drop off?
Your penis, it drops off and then it grows back again just so you can re-feel the pain of it falling off again and again.
It's
every
like
day you wake up. Every day you wake up and you're like, oh, my penis is back here again. Thank God.
Like a kind of penis, like...
Yeah.
Sisyphus, where grows back or whatever,
right? Yeah, no, it's no, because Sisyphus has the boulder.
Oh no, he has the liver, and like
he has the boulder, and every day
his liver eaten every day.
Every day he pushes his penis back on, and every day it falls off.
He pushes his penis up the mountain and then eats it,
yeah.
And then
that's why they call it syphilis, because it's named after Sisyphus.
Thinking about Sisyphus, I was like, Sisyphus has syphilis. Great,
it's Sisyphus's disease, but we call it syphilis for short.
No, like the guy who gets his liver eaten is like Prometheus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Prometheus.
Prometheus is syphilis penis. Penis
Prometheus. Yeah, right. Some joke in there. Something.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think people appreciate us workshopping live all of the jokes. Okay.
Hey, folks at home, I got bad news. If we don't workshop them, they're just shitty.
Yeah.
If we don't workshop them, all you get is the shitty first draft. The
shitty first draft where they're like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
That's a real dumb joke. I don't know why they said they should have really worked on that a little bit.
Anyway,
you know,
the drop bears are real in space.
Okay.
Is all we're
the saying. Drop and Space Australia is definitely upside down, and koala bears' penises fall off every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, like, due to like lack of gravity, they float off.
And then the people in Space Australia are always getting hit in the face by koala penises.
Like dicks.
slapped by a floating koala penis. That is so inconvenient.
Get it away from me. Get it away. Not you know, another one.
You're like cycling really fast and then like just accidentally swallow a floating koala penis.
Yeah. Right. Like hits your windshield, your car windshield. You're like, oh, blimey.
Oh my god, what a nightmare universe. I would not live there. Okay. With the deadliest new prototype weapons sitting there for the taking, with the entire staff of the factory of their hostages, and with the factory itself a maze of tunnels, catwalks, and twisted corridors, the KLF fully believed that it had the place secured. Okay, like, wait, though. Because there's catwalks in here. And I'm like, why are there catwalks in this facility?
Because it's a maze of tunnels, catwalks, and twisted corridors.
Is there right? Like a series of fashion shows that goes on with all of the military weaponry? I mean,
well, okay. The thing is that when you're building a factory, and this is like OSHA regulation kind of things,
yeah,
you need to have lots of vents that are just the size for like a secret agent to sneak through. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like lots of twisty platforms that always offer one vantage point that's just outside the range of visibility of any guards who would be standing nearby and things like that.
It
right?
Like in like built into a volcano structure.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And this is the, it's the moron factory statute of OSHA,
right?
It's, yeah, this is like, hey, you know, you want to make a factory, it's gotta be a moron factory.
Yeah.
Right. No normal factories here for us. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So like, I guess their primary function is munitions. And so we're
well, the primary function is munitions and carrying munitions along long, twisty, narrow catwalks directly over like a huge pit of molten lava.
Right.
You know,
got it. That's like dramatic and pretty cool, you know, visually.
Yeah. Like they build, like to construct the munitions, they build them in two separate halves of the factory that are across the lava pit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Valley Johansson knew she just had to wait it out. Okay, so we have to stop here because we have got a second Valley girl and her last name is Johansson, which
Valley Johansson.
Like deliberately making me think of Scarlett Johansson. So
Can you imagine? Okay, we're on page 301 out of 304 of StarCraft Ghost Nova. Can you imagine in the film version of StarCraft Ghost Nova, if Scarlett Johansson appears in like 90 seconds from the end of the movie, like
the very last minute of the movie,
yeah, oh, that would be awesome. I'd love that.
But that's cheaper than having an appearance for the whole
movie. I guess that's true. They can still bill Scarlett Johansson in the marketing and whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. But like, and one like, minute, great. You know.
Well, right, 1 minute. That's tons for a trailer. That's plenty for a trailer.
Someone
right?
Has a budget for actors. Myself, I appreciate the genius in this. You know,
you can get all sorts of shots of Scarlett Johansson into your trailer with 1 minute of footage. Like, that's there's no problem there.
Right. Exactly. And like, she could also, you know, if there's 1 minute of screen time, she can also do like barks and efforts. You know what I mean? Like, great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Like really, that's an efficient budget use, I would say.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah.
I want some big budget. I wonder what's the role, the film acting role that's like a big budget thing with a major character in top billing who had the least amount of actual screen time in the movie. Like, I'm curious, there must be a number somewhere that someone has. Like,
wasn't there
this person was, their name is on the poster and they have the least amount of time.
Wasn't there like a Suicide Squad where they killed the famous Suicide Squad people in the first 10 minutes or something and they had
Squad. That's the new one. Yeah. That's right. That's the new one. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, they did that. Like, fucking Nathan Fillion dies in the first. I guess this is spoilers for. I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But
No, it's fine. It's not like an essential movie, is it? Like, I mean, I guess.
No, it's fun, but like, yeah. Nathan Fillion dying in the first 10 minutes is not going to do anything to your experience of this movie,
no.
Basically. No. But yeah, they killed. And there's other actors who I won't name so that you can learn it for yourself. But yeah, they kill some other celebrity people.
I guess they must have been paid like a little bit, but like they didn't get to be in the movie. I mean, how weird is that, right? Like, where?
But they're not on the poster. Like, they're not on the poster for Suicide Squad.
I know, but like, how weird is it that like you got to be like, oh, like I hope these people are the Suicide Squad. And like you get a job where everyone like this is like, oh, this is would be like the ideal job for me. And then you get killed off. Like, that's kind of
okay. Weird. It would be so fucking great if like, okay, we've all seen the Marvel movies and they're all, we know what the thing is. Here's the dude. And oh, here's the wise old man who gives him the laser gun. And then, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. Like, we know the formula.
Yeah.
God, what if fucking they're like, here's the new Marvel movie. It's, you know, the legend of Ultra Destroyer or whatever. And then they're like, and starring 30 celebrities from all, you know, they haven't been in any of the Marvel movies. It's all new. It's all new. It's all new IP. It's all new, you know, new actors coming in. And they're like 30 big name actors, right? And you're like, they're not all gonna be ultra killer person, whoever that hero that I just said, right? One of them is, or maybe Ultra Destroyer is like a 2 or 3 person team, but like they die throughout the movie and you don't know which of the major celebrities is gonna be the person,
right?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be I have not intentionally gone to a Marvel movie in years, and I would line up outside the theater for that movie. Like, no doubt. If it was like, if they were really, they were like, okay, Steve Buscemi's in it, Danny DeVito's in it, Helen Mirren's in it, you know, like, we're gonna get all these fucking people in it, and one of them is gonna be this new Marvel, you know, hero, and they're just gonna, like, kill battle royale each other to find out who gets to be the new hero of the Marvel movie. I would absolutely go see that.
Yeah, it would be kind of fun. I mean, it's like a kind of Russian roulette movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right, totally. And actually, if it was literally Russian roulette, that would be pretty cool. Like,
which is the celebrity who gets to stay alive? It kind of sounds like kind of like Saw or something, but with alternate construction. That's pretty nice.
But okay, it would be great if they did it sort of documentary-ish style where the celebrities they don't have to actually kill them, right? But the celebrities don't know in the moment whether or not, like, they all sign on, they all agree to be ultra super destroyer, and they're all like, they sign the contract, they're like, yep, I agree, but we have 30 people that have all agreed to be this one role, but with a clause that, like, we can revoke your right to this for any reason. And then they do, like, a Squid Game kind of...
Oh, God.
...kind of thing. And the movie is, like, who makes it... who, and it's, like, basically a documentary, you know?
Yeah.
About who doesn't get their contract revoked to be in the new Marvel movie. But they have to set aside... They're like, look, this is going to be, like, a 10-year commitment, right? Because that's how these Marvel movies go.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you're in it for the long haul. So each and every one of you needs to clear out the next 10 years of your schedule.
Yeah. I heard they were trying to get Henry Cavill to be in the Marvel Universe because, like, his DC stuff didn't work out. And, like, he's currently the Witcher, so he's, like, a little bit more famous than he would be otherwise. So they're like, oh, we should get Henry Cavill. But then wouldn't it, like, total all of the Witcher plans if that were true? Like, I don't know. Anyway, an interesting one. Because you have to have, like, a 10-year thing on the books. It's, like, so weird to make that long of a commitment, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, but at the same time, you know, you got a fuck ton of money or whatever. So I guess it's not that hard of a deal, but yeah. Anyway.
I'm sorry. What were we? What led to this? How did we start talking about this? Oh, Valley Johansson. Oh, that's Johansson, what it was.
Because
Valley Johansson. Thank you. Yeah.
Um,
Sooner or later, the rest of her KLF reinforcements would arrive. They were en route now, taking care to follow a circuitous route to avoid Dominion detection. Once they got there, they'd go beyond this lousy factory and take over all of New Sydney. It would be the KLF's greatest victory.
New Sydney has been ransacked and overthrown by like 100 different rebel bandit groups at this point. Yeah. It's just like it just keeps trading hands from one to the next. Like, oh, here's the next rebel group that's coming over to invade Australia, Space Australia.
Yeah. I mean, Space Australia, like, really important on the board of risk, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, yeah. That at least was what Johansson.
No. She had guards.
Sorry.
Yeah.
She had guards at every entry point, each wearing a helmet with state-of-the-art detection equipment. Nobody could get anywhere near them without their knowing it. That, at least, was what Johansson believed.
Whoa, I wonder who or what could be coming to take down this rebel force.
It's like...
Who do you think, Kara?
I mean, I think it's going to be Valley Girl versus Valley Girl.
Oh, yes. God. Fight of the century. What if they build up all of this and then it's fucking Garth Duke that shows up?
He just comes, and he comes limping up.
Yeah, he's totally naked and just covered in juice. Just covered in juice. He's like, juice me up, baby.
Okay, like orange juice.
Yeah, orange juice me up, baby.
Okay. Orange juice Garth Duke.
In the StarCraft Ghost video game, because there's like stealthy stuff, you should be able to have like a little Garth Duke companion who goes in and distracts the enemy by being an outrageous weirdo. That's all I'm saying.
Couldn't you get like a little Zergling in World of Warcraft, like that was your companion? What if that was just Garth Duke? Like a tiny Garth Duke?
Yeah. Like that. I would love that. Yeah, I'd love that.
And you could, like, you know, when you, like, do, like, the slash, like, dance command, he does, like, the little, like, Willy Whirlwind dance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one he would do in the Punch Bowl.
Yes.
That would be really cool. I don't know why this episode is, like, so penis-oriented. I'm sorry.
We didn't hit our quota for the rest of the book.
Right.
Up to this point. And now we got a lot to ram in there, so to speak.
Wow. Okay. So
I said so to speak.
Well, that makes it all fine. The guard at the north entrance didn't see the lithe form that snuck past him with consummate ease, neither his incredibly sophisticated equipment nor his rather ordinary eyes were capable of penetrating the baffling fields generated by the white with navy blue trim suit she wore. Now describing the suit she's wearing. So this is where we're like, wait, so they've already done all the designs for the video game. We're building it up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Questions? Any questions?
No, I want to read the book, Kara.
Are you sure?
I just really love to know more about this scene.
You want
to
know?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want to stop for any reason.
No stopping. Okay. None of the other guards saw the ghost either until and unless she wanted them to.
Whoa. Let's stop and talk about
this. Okay.
God, I've got nothing.
Who's the ghost? Who's the ghost, Davey? This is new for us.
It hasn't said yet, so we can't know. There's no way we could possibly know that. What, you know, again, like, she can just kill all these people.
Yeah,
right?
She
can just blow up all of their brains.
She's already
right?
killed, what is it, like 50,000 people with her mind?
Yeah.
So, like, why?
Right.
She could just explode all their minds. It's, you know, it's like Akira at this point. Why does she just explode everyone? Because it's crazy. Crazy that she doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It says here on the next sentence.
Her mission was to limit casualties. Well, that's not fun.
That's success, Keith.
Shut up, Keith.
God damn it, Keith.
This takeover indicated a flaw in Dominion intelligence, and so they needed as many alive as possible so they could be questioned. I see. So it's an intel mission.
Why would she need to keep the grunt man at the guard alive for intel? Like, what is the dude standing out front guarding the door gonna... What valuable information is, like, he gonna have for them?
In case he knows the password to the nukes, Davey.
Oh, yes. Right. In case he's, like... Like when they're arming the nukes to launch the nukes, mm-hmm. they call, you know, Rod out at the front gate. They're like, "Hey man, we need you to come in here and put in the number for the nukes." And Rod's like, "Oh shit, yeah, no, I'm on my way." And he's like, "He runs through the twisty, you know, corridor and along the catwalk, and you know, then the catwalk circles around and spirals a couple times. Then he has to crawl through the vent, and then you know." And then he gets to the thing and he's like, "All right, here we go, man. I got the nuke numbers, right? Thanks, Rod. You're the best."
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Like,
no, that's stupid.
I mean, I don't know why this particular guy is a nuke password.
Like, why that guy? Just kill, you don't have to kill all of them. Just kill that guy. Just kill Rod.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, Rod is not going to support the Empire with some particular, you know, piece of useful data.
Yeah.
Unless they really need to know, like, how the front door works or something.
Well, you know, like, maybe if she wants to, she could just be like, "Open this door for me," and then he would, you know, because
she's not doing that. She's sneaking past him.
It's crazy. Wait.
Yeah, I don't know.
Of course she could shut down their brains without killing them. She only did that to a few, though, the ones who weren't due to check in for a little while.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So she's only shutting down a few brains as she goes.
So she is doing that.
Yeah.
But not all of them.
No, just some of them.
How does she know who's due to check in?
She's like, "Oh, which ones in this room are due to check in soon?"
She's reading their brains.
Yeah.
She's like, "Who's going to check in?"
Yeah. So I'll just put this guy's brain to sleep. That's what she's doing.
Yeah. Right. Is this guy thinking stupid thoughts? All right. Sleep.
I mean, if I were a guard, I'd just be thinking about the next sandwich.
Yeah, right. I'd be thinking about, when do I get out of this force field so that I can go pee?
Yeah. They're all by this force field. They're all force field guys who really need the bathroom.
Right.
Johansson was talking to a Dominion negotiator over a screen. The negotiator was pretending to do his job. Johansson didn't believe that any of his offers were legitimate. And she was right, they weren't. But not because the negotiator was trying to lead her on. He was simply stalling while the ghost made her move. Oh.
I still don't know who this ghost is.
I don't know either. Like, who is this ghost? It's just like, you know, It's impossible for me to know.
It's still a mystery. Yeah. There's still no way that I could possibly know.
The best defense is the best place to buy armor. I'm sorry. Oh my god. Oblivion, that video game, is still in my brain after many years of trying to remove it. The best defense they had was the force field.
Of course it was. The force field's back, baby.
Oh, it didn't stop her. The force field only reacted to something it could detect. And with the suit activated, the ghost couldn't be detected, but it prevented assault vehicles from attacking the factory.
Okay. I like how they went into the detail about how Nova's training included all these things about what to do if there's a anti-psychic traps. And then nobody uses any of that.
No.
Right? They're just like, "Oh, no. I didn't think of that. A psychic that can't be detected by any of our shit. Yeah, we actually didn't plan for that."
Why don't, like, the guards who have to stand in the force field have these suits? Because then they could just, like, go to the bathroom.
Wait, they have the suit, like the cloaking suit?
I mean, why don't they just buy the suit on eBay?
That you mean the one Nova has?
Yeah.
On Space eBay.
Yeah, Space eBay.
Space eBay.
Yeah.
It's a great question, Tara. It's a great question.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hopefully, Subsurian. Hopefully, Subsurian will come in with a great answer to that question.
Who wouldn't be selling these like on eBay, black market eBay? I don't know. Do you go on black market eBay?
I don't. No, actually, I don't go on black market eBay. So I can't say whether or not they sell space cloaking suits on black market eBay.
I love space black market eBay. Like, it is a place you can go to get any kind of decommissioned nuke.
God, you reek of poser right now. You reek of posturing right now. It's sad. It's sad is what it is. I can feel it. Everyone listening can feel it. You have not been on space black market eBay.
It's like, you know, when everyone's like, I go on Silk Road to get all my drugs, and I'm like,
yeah, I'm sure on you do, buddy.
eBay, man. Like,
sure. Yeah.
eBay is where it's at. So whatever. Johansson was standing right next to the control for the force field, which she had given a new code so only she could deactivate it.
Then fucking kill Rod. Like, who cares?
Why
you know?
Rod got it?
Just lose Rod.
Why
you know?
Do we need Rod to know the codes?
Yeah, she didn't look into Rod's brain and be like, Rod doesn't know shit. I'm killing this dude, right?
On a whim, the ghost went visible. On a whim?
On a whim. Okay. That's how ghosts do, baby.
Conduct their life.
Ghosts just kind of vibe their way through a mission.
Johansson whirled around, whipping up a P-1000 she'd taken out of this very factory. P-1000, that must be a lot of P's.
A lot of P.
A lot of P.
A lot of P in this factory.
In there.
With all these guards.
Like a super soaker? Maybe it is. How the hell did you get in here? Who are you? You have two choices, Valley. You can surrender, or I can take down the force field and let in the grizzly that's standing over by the ridge to rain fire down on you and what's left of your people. I'd take the surrender. It's not like you're ever going to get your brother back anyhow, so there's no point in...
Why is... God, Nova, shut up. Nova can't kill someone without making their personal life a part of their...
Yeah, like,
a part of how they die.
He is really crossing some professional boundaries.
Right, there's a real HR violation in this sort of mixing of personal life with the workplace.
Yeah.
Right. And Nova, let's be clear, Nova is at work.
Yeah.
Right now.
At work. She should not be using people's personal information against them.
And, you know, it would be one thing if she was using the personal information to a particular end, but she's just going to like kill this person anyway, you know? So it's like, she's just, she's using it for like personal gratification. You know,
yeah.
I'm not saying that it would be acceptable if she did violate HR boundaries in order to do her job better. But if you're gonna violate HR, at least it should do better for you in your job.
Yeah, is like what I'm you're saying. Not just like, you know, stating some facts. Like, you should get, you know, real violent with the facts, right?
Yeah,
like,
right. Do something, right. You know. Right. So
anyway, Johansson's like you. Johansson fired the P-1000 on her face. On her cool suit. And you know,
definitely. You're adding this part yeah, adding now.
The bullets didn't leave the chamber thanks to the ghosts keeping them there telekinetically. So the P-1000 exploded in Johansson's face. She fell to the floor, clutching her burned and bleeding head. Walking over to the force field control, the ghost reached down and grabbed one of Johansson's hands away from her face with her mind.
Johansson fought the ghost with what willpower she had left after having a gun blow up in her face, but it was no use. She typed in the code to lower the force field. It was coded to Johansson's DNA, so it had to be her hand that did it, which the ghost had thought to be a nice touch.
Isn't that just like a normal touch?
Like a...
Isn't that just a normal thing? And also, how did she change the code of the factory to be her DNA? Isn't she like a terrorist?
I don't know.
The factory is just like, insert DNA here, please, to make me your new ruler.
Did she maybe she re-encoded it or something, or like she just redid it, or I don't know what.
Look,
maybe
this
she got like whatever his name is, like, you know, Ron or whatever, to like tell her what the code is.
Here's the other thing that we could think about. I've been personally thinking of this place as the Moron Factory.
Right.
Right? Which I think we can agree that's canon.
Yes.
The Moron Factory is the kind of place that would leave its central controls in a sort of perpetual, please insert your DNA here to associate your DNA with the nuke codes for this factory.
Yeah,
right?
And like it's like,
and
a
remember,
constant...
don't do this if you're a terrorist.
But then it's like, right? Everyone, it's like a kind of like factory-wide game of tag, right? Where everyone is just constantly recoding it to their DNA, and then everyone's like, oh, I wonder who's got it this
week. Now it's you.
Yeah.
Oh, now like, it's you. Oh, no, it's you. And then Scarlett Valley Johansson shows up and she's like, hey guys, I'm totally not a terrorist. Tag me. Oh, and they're like, well, here we go. Gotcha. Now you're the one in control of the Moron Factory. And she's like, actually, I am a terrorist. And then all the Moron Factory workers are like, oh no, how did we not see this coming?
Right. Yeah.
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 We're so dumb here at the Moron Factory. And then they do a little song and dance as they parade one by one into the lava pit. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, dun, 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 dun. Hey, dun, dun, dun. And they're dead.
I mean, kind of weird that Keith hasn't named every employee in the Moron Factory.
You're 100% right. Like, Nova has subdued and snuck past people, and none of them had names.
That's
actually kind of weird. Do you think maybe Keith was just getting to the end of his deadline
at
this
point
in the book?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just like, oh my God, I've made so many characters.
Yeah.
I don't, I've used all names. There just aren't names left. Like, I've used all of them.
He didn't use Mike Stucka.
Well, that's because Mike Stucka is a real person. He's not going to dox. Yeah. He's not going to dox Mike Stucka.
Right.
You know?
Or he could like, so, you know, Mike Stucka could sue, obviously.
Yeah, right. There's all sorts of shitty situations you could end. And sure. Blizzard's not the... So he's like, yeah, other than Mike Stucka, I use all names and there are none left. So this is just a guy.
Yeah.
You know? This is just a dude and he's just someone.
Hey, after this... is over. Do you want to write the big budget movie version of StarCraft for Blizzard and then just like get it made? Like, I think we should just do that. I think we,
Kara, there is nothing I would want less than to than to never do that idea, actually.
I went to see the premiere of that Warcraft movie and I absolutely hated every second of it.
I went to the Warcraft movie with a friend, and if it wasn't for the fact that I was there with another person, I would have stood up and walked out of the theater in the middle of the movie, like, for sure. But I was with a human being and I felt an obligation to not do that to him.
Bang.
Yeah.
Anyway,
okay.
I guess I did technically meet David Bowie's son because he was there, but I mean...
Oh, well, that's cool.
Well, that was the only thing about it, but yes, it was...
That was cool.
Didn't make the movie great, so...
No, not a good movie. Not a good movie.
Not a good one. So, yeah. Where are we at?
Jennifer Render now? Yeah, there you go.
pulling a knife out of her boot with her other hand, Johansson said, "Long live the KLF!" Before Johansson could stab herself in the heart, the ghost telekinetically removed the knife from her hand. "Sorry, you don't get off that easily. That grizzly will be here any minute to take you away."
Is it really a common, if you're a terrorist trying to kill yourself to prevent information from leaking, do you really stop to yell "Long live the KLF"? Like, that seems not good for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never done this, but that's what I would assume.
You've never done it?
You know. I've never killed myself to prevent information from leaking. But you know, I wouldn't, if there was like a cyanide pill in my tooth, I wouldn't be like, "All right, cyanide pill, do me nasty," and then bite down it while I'm right in front of the, you know, the guy who's coming for me.
I guess.
You know? Like I would just do it.
Yeah. Circumstantial though, isn't it? You know, everyone,
I guess. Like, and you're in the moment, the heat of the moment, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like, "Oh, this is really cool line I want to say. Long live the..." Yeah, okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
I guess. All right. Minutes later, the large metal door to this room, which the ghost had moved through effortlessly, thanks to her suit, still don't know who the ghost is.
Still don't know. Yeah.
No idea.
Also, did this ghost, whoever they are, like phase through the door?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that what they're saying?
I guess that is what they're saying.
Okay. Cool.
So she moved through the,
she phased through the door, blown
off by a grizzly. Like immediately afterwards, blown off by a grizzly, a 5-person tank that could take on a small army all by itself. However, there was no army to take on, and Johansson finally realized she was defeated and surrendered. Major Esmeralda Ndochi of the Annihilators and 4 of her troops were on the grizzly.
Whoa!
Dang.
Wait, Kara. Mm. Kara. Okay, I have a memory, and this was pages ago, so I might be wrong,
uh-huh.
but I have a memory that we went onto the StarCraft wiki.
Yeah.
And we searched Esmeralda Ndochi.
Yeah.
And Esmeralda Ndochi, because we wanted to know what was her fate, because it was left uncertain at the part where we were. And oh, no. I guess I was thinking of something else. For some reason I thought that the wiki left it vague what happened to her. I thought I was gonna
popsicle stand
wide open. I thought I was gonna look really cool in front of Subsurian for knowing something.
Dang.
Shoot. I was ready to, you know. Oh, now Subsurian doesn't think I'm cool.
Mm. Okay. Well, she,
Can we loathe in self-pity for me for another few minutes?
Sure.
Over how Subsurian doesn't think I'm cool?
Okay. Would you like a minute?
All right, I'm good now.
Silence.
I'm good
okay.
now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, no, a minute of silence for how I almost looked like I actually knew StarCraft lore.
Yeah.
Can we do 1 minute? I want to do 1 minute.
All right. 1 minute of silence.
All right. I'm going to keep a timer. Okay. And we'll do 1 minute. Here we go. And starting now. All right, that's the alarm on my phone.
Well, there you go. That's 1 minute silence for your sadness and grief.
Could we also do another minute of silence for every person who died in this book? We need another episode. We need another episode where we just name every person in the book who died and give them a minute of silence.
Jeez. No. We cannot
All right.
make people listen to that.
Well, we can't make people listen to anything. We can do it. We can just do it. They don't have to listen.
All right, page 303.
Okay.
Why the flick did you even call us in if you took care of it? She asked angrily. The ghost shrugged. I knew you wanted to break something. Dochi shook her head. You're still a stupid psych, you know that. Frowning, the ghost asked, have we met before this mission? The major started to say something, then stopped. Never mind.
Can I just say something real quick?
What?
We're on the last page of StarCraft Ghost Nova. We're literally on the last page of the entire book.
Three paragraphs to go, baby.
Oh my god. Is that weird? Like, do you feel like I'm literally looking at the end of the book?
It feels weird
to right me. Now.
Like,
how does that feel?
I've got like a weird pit in my stomach.
Yeah, it's like kind of bizarre. Like, I've thought about this moment, definitely, but not, you know, it always feels like a distant, like something really distant and far away.
Should we take a week to think about this?
can we take a week of silence?
Week of silence until we figure out how we feel about it?
I think we should just do it is the thing.
We
like,
do it?
I think,
it?
I think we need to just do it. I think if we...
We can't overthink
it. Yeah, I think if we overthink it, we're going to make it into something that it shouldn't be.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like, because what's always been this podcast is just doing things off the cuff exactly as they occur to us in the moment. And if we take a week to try to figure this out, we're going to lose the magic of whatever magic, if you want to call what we've done so far magic, and that's my words, not yours. I think we just fucking charge in.
Okay.
Like Nova charging Cliff Nadanner's hatch. Okay. All right.
Okay. Nova Terra shrugged. Nothing mattered prior to when she'd become a ghost. Maybe in her previous life, she and Nadochi had crossed paths. She couldn't imagine it. She didn't try very hard either. Turning on her suit stealth mode again, she departed the factory without another word. Dochi could handle the cleanup, and she had to report back to base for her next mission. After all, the enemies of the Terran Dominion were everywhere, and the ghosts were the best line of defense against them. It was all Nova ever thought about. The end.
The end.
The end.
Whoa.
The end.
That's weird. That's weird. The end. The end. That's it. That's it.
That's the end of it.
Kara, that's it.
And we're
that's
never,
it. That's the done.
We're never going to see each other ever again, Davey.
Oh, my God. Well, goodbye to you, Kara, forever.
Goodbye, Davey, forever.
Oh, we promised we would do other episodes after this. So I'll see you we'll have to do those.
This is awkward.
I know. It's awkward. It's like when you say goodbye to someone as you're like leaving a restaurant and then you walk to your car, but you're like, the exact same. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little uncomfortable, but, wow. How do you feel now that we finished it?
It feels so weird. Like, what am I going to do every week at this time now?
I know.
Like, I guess I could, I could do push-ups on my knuckles during that time.
Yeah. I could come up with cool one-liners for killing a person with your brain, you know, like cool sounds that you could make as you yell, hey, want to hear something that'll make your head explode?
I could start to like get to know some henchmen's lives and deep backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And
my cat is also your very upset about it being, yeah, my cat is also really sad. Yeah. No, I mean, that's it. Like,
so weird.
That's the podcast. That's or it. The book, I guess.
Yeah.
What
did we,
what's the,
did we learn?
What's anything? What's the message of StarCraft Ghost Nova?
I guess it's don't get captured by Fagin.
don't become a murder slave.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big one for me. Like, that's a big takeaway that I have, you know?
I mean, I guess one of the other things is, like, a fascist government will always find you and
co-opt you. Wait, hold on. Back up and walk me through that one. That one I'm not so sure about.
Well, I mean, eventually they found Nova and then
yeah, co-opted 6 months later.
Power, but they will get there eventually. I did
eventually.
Quickly. I did not say quickly. I said eventually.
But when you say we'll find you, you're not talking about like anyone in general. You'd mean Nova specifically.
I'm talking about right? Everyone. Everyone. Oh,
like eventually we will all be assimilated into the regime.
Yeah.
Yeah, into the psychic murder regime.
Right.
Right. I guess that's definitely one takeaway from this book. Yeah.
I mean, did we learn anything? You know, did you learn anything that, you know,
I learned a lot about life? I learned a lot about StarCraft lore,
but like
I know a tremendous amount,
like anything usable in your
day. Okay, all right, let me actually sit and think about this for a second. All right, what's an actual practical day-to-day thing that I learned about as a result of reading this book? I'm running through all like the characters in my mind, you know. Here's a takeaway that I do have from this book. The people in the spotlight are almost always the people doing the least.
Right.
That's like absolutely a part of this book. All of your protagonists, your Novas, your Malcolms, your Fagins, the people like at center stage, those are the people who really aren't doing shit. Right?
Yeah.
It's your Larrys and, you know, your Garth Dukes and your Handy Andersons and your Marcuses. You know, they're the people who are actually moving and shaking, and nobody recognizes anything that they've done.
That right? is true, yeah.
So that is real and practical, and does, you know, have weight and social consequence to me.
Yeah, and you know, that's probably an opinion that Keith has, right? Because he's so into like backstories and names for all of these peripheral characters who then probably immediately die, right? So he's actually about like being like, look at all these like working class people who get screwed over by what's happening in this plot, you know?
Yeah, but you know, he still does spend a tremendous amount of time writing about those center stage characters. So either he actually did want to do that, or someone at Blizzard kept tapping him on the shoulder and be like, Keith, can you please just write more about Nova now?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like she's the person we're doing all of this
she
for.
Still doesn't do that much.
No, she really doesn't.
I mean,
she really doesn't. Like, even okay, at the very end, she's like this ultra cool badass killer, right? Yeah. So I guess that's something. But is it, does it feel, okay, let me ask you this. This book is like Nova's origin as a character,
yeah.
Right? Does it feel like the payoff for all of that is that, wow, yes, I get why she is this badass at the end?
I mean, I
think for me, and this may be a controversial thing, but I think for me, I would have made it more about her time with the Academy rather than her time with Fagin. There's a part of me that's like, probably her time at the Academy is a lot more important to how she is as a cold-blooded killer. I don't know. I just feel like the trauma itself is not making her into an efficient killer. It's actually that she is good at it. You know what? She's naturally good at it. And that
well, she's naturally good at it because she spent 6 months killing. You know what I mean?
I don't know if that's true, but because they, you know, at the first, at the very beginning of the book, that's why they want to recruit her, right? Is because they know that she's good at it.
Yeah, right. Because she's ultra powerful psychic with 1,000 telepath points, right?
Yeah. Because I'm always like kind of reticent to say the character's trauma is why they become a superhero. Because it's kind of like lazy. And, you know, it's always a little bit like, aren't they just naturally talented and decide one day that they think they can do something with it? But I mean, on this particular thing, the point is, the government is co-opting this power by like wiping her memory and like,
you know. Yeah. And again, you know, I just have to come back to like, you know, you can just fucking take a cyanide bath, right? Like, I don't know. Is it that important? She spends like 3 years working in the Academy, in the Ghost Academy, in order to become a person who doesn't think thoughts anymore about her shit. Like that's dedication.
Yeah,
she's putting in work. She's like, oh yeah, I'm super super stoked about this, right? Like, really? That's the way you're gonna go about doing this? Okay,
yeah,
all right, you say so. It is a little weird. It's a little, but I do feel like the notion of trauma creating characterization is something that the conversation has changed in the last decade around that, right?
Yeah.
2006 was a different time for that particular sort of line of inquiry about, you know, storytelling, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know. It just seems like, frankly, if I didn't have any traumas in my life, I would have just had more time to get artistic stuff done. You know what I mean? Like, I just had that time back. So right.
Like, what would Nova, okay, like what would Nova have done with her life if she wasn't made into a murder slave?
She probably just would have had an extended amount of time to train.
What do you mean training? What does that mean training? What do you mean?
Like at the Ghost Academy, she could have just
Do you think she would go? So you're saying she would go to the Ghost Academy anyway?
I mean, the military wants her to go there, and so does...
No. The whole first part of the book was about how Constantino, because he's rich and connected, is going to prevent her from going to the military.
Yeah, but
like, that was the whole first, like, chapter.
I guess, but I don't see how the military are, like, going to be prevented from that. Like, I don't know... How? I mean, is it like a huge payoff from Constantino? But I don't know, like, I mean, still, like, it would be really obvious that his daughter is this wild telekinetic talent. Like, how could they not? Like, eventually she'd just be like, I want to control this.
So you're saying that, so it's like a Spider-Man kind of Uncle Ben will always die kind of thing, right?
I mean, yeah, it could be,
Like there is a sort of destiny like force that is gravitationally pulling her toward the Ghost Academy.
Yeah.
And maybe now that multiverses are a big thing, and since StarCraft Ghost Nova was such a wildly popular piece of work, maybe now is the time for them to like multiverse, like, oh, you know, Cliff Nadaner doesn't kill Nova's family and she just lives her life, you know, but then she gets roped into the Academy anyway, you know, like yeah. she ends up with that shitty dude. What's his name? The guy who plays padball, right? Yeah. Like, and they get married and have kids, but then, you know, one day, you know, she wakes up in the middle of the night and he's gone. Where did he go? And she creeps out the house and, you know, he's being taken by the military and she's like, no, babe, don't go. And then she jumps onto the military van to get him back. And then in the process of rescuing him, they're like, ah, this, you've fallen into our trap or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just, but like every, all roads lead to the ghost. Yeah, it's
like in every generation, there is a Slayer, you know, in every generation, there's a Nova.
There's, yes, there's the Nova is like, she's like an archetype, you know, and we could all become Nova, right? Any of us could be recruited into the Ghost Academy.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Wait, Keith has written a Buffy the Vampire Slayer novel.
Hang on, let's read the about the author okay, here. Okay. I feel like this is important because the book does end with a blurb about the author.
Yeah. Keith R.A. DeCandido is the author of over 24 novels, plus whole bunches of novellas, short stories, ebooks, comic books, and nonfiction, all in a wide variety of media universes. This is his second foray into the world of Blizzard games, following the recent World of Warcraft novel, Cycle of Hatred. He's also written in the milieus of Star Trek in all its incarnations, plus some new ones. Spider-Man, The X-Men, Resident Evil, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Serenity, Farscape, Andromeda, Xena, oh my god, Xena, and a whole lot more. He is also the author of the high fantasy police procedural Dragon Precinct, and the editor of many anthologies, most recently the award-nominated Imaginings, and the Star Trek anthologies Tales of the Dominion War and Tales from the Captain's Table. His work has received critical acclaim from Entertainment Weekly, Publishers Weekly, TV Zone, Starburst, Dreamwatch, Library Journal, and Cinescape, among others. No Mike Stucka, though. When he isn't writing or editing, he can be seen playing percussion in a Manhattan club or at a science Whoa. Fiction convention.
Playing percussion?
Or practicing... Ken Shikai Karate. He lives in New York City with his girlfriend and two lunatic cats. So just like the jerk dog, but lunatic cats.
Yeah. Why are all of our pets such idiots? My cat is literally sitting here like screaming at me to play with her. Like, what is it with animals being such morons?
I don't know. Maybe they all live and are created at the Moron Factory.
Oh, the Moron Factory for animals.
For animals. Find out too much about Keith at his official website at decandido.net. Keep up with his ramblings on LiveJournal. Oh man, LiveJournal. Under the rather goofy username of Cradical. Or just send him silly emails at keith@decandido.net. So there you go. That is
and that's it.
Legend.
That's him. That's the man himself.
I am closing the book.
Jesus, that's the back cover of the book of the StarCraft Ghost Nova.
Cover, which I've never seen before.
There's such a, you know, like whenever you finish reading a book, there's something about closing the back cover of it that's so cathartic and, you know... I don't know what's that feeling like, because there's every time I finish a book, there's always this feeling of, you know, there, I did it.
Yeah.
Right? Do you get that?
I always feel like I'm like squishing that person's thoughts together when I close the pages. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, interesting. Like Keith is like his essence is in this
in
thing.
There, and yeah.
We've just pressed it between our hands and you know, held its warmth.
Yeah. Kind of I always loved in Terry Pratchett novels, there's this idea of L space. And L space is created when you put a lot of books together. Because all that knowledge, like when you put it all together in one space, it's so powerful as a magic that it like, you know, somehow creates like this other kind of liminal space where they all live. Like it's like going into a library is like going into a portal to like something else. And I always loved that description because I always felt like reading was, you know, getting to look inside another person's brain, which I find really, really exhilarating. So thanks, mm-hmm. Keith, for your piece of L space. It's great.
Yeah. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
What else is there to say except thank you, Keith.
Thank you, Keith.
Well.
Met some new
friends. We did it. We made a couple friends along the way. We did. One or two or about 300.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Carrot, now that we're done with the book, we talked about it a little bit, but let me propose a path going forward.
Okay.
I think we need a recap. I think we need a discussion episode, right? Okay. I think we need to take at least one episode to just talk and decompress and remember, you know? I'd love to look back on our favorite things from this book and what we liked and what we learned. And I'd also love it if anyone who is listening along at home wrote in to us with the things that they enjoyed about this book, or memories of it, or tidbits, or things that stuck out for you, or whatever. And then we can read those as well. And we can just kind of marinate in this thing a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, we've come this far. I want to marinate. I want to be like Garth Duke, you know, in the Punch Bowl, just kind of getting pruny, you know?
Yeah.
I want to just vibe in it for a minute. Yeah. If that sounds good. Does that sound good?
That sounds good. Let's take a couple weeks for it as well. Like, give a little bit of marinating time.
Yeah. We'll take 2 weeks of silence.
Silence for all the people that died in the book.
Yes. All right. Officially, the next 2 weeks of real time are 2 weeks of silence for every character who died in StarCraft Ghost Nova.
Yeah.
We will not forget any of you.
My partner is going to be so puzzled. He's going to be like, why are you not talking? Like, can you just tell me what's for dinner? Like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah, if he listens to the podcast, he'll understand. But let's be real, nobody listens to this podcast.
Like one time I was like, you should listen to the podcast. And he's like, that would be really weird if you walked in the room where I was listening to your podcast. I was like, yeah, that is kind of weird.
Weird? You mean loving?
Yeah, I'm like, don't you love me?
Don't you love me? So, if you at home have gotten to this place and you want to write to us to tell us about a memory, something from StarCraft Ghost Nova or from the Inspirational Quarter.
What has happened to you during the time that it has taken for us to get from episode one to the last episode of this podcast?
And like help put it in perspective. Yeah. Like, you know, when this podcast started, I was just entering high school. And now today I've completed my doctorate and I am officially like a operating surgeon, you know, or something like that. Like, that's how long it's been since the podcast has been running.
Yeah. Like, I moved continents and I took new jobs and finished jobs. Like, what else happened to me?
Okay, you want to know what? This is crazy. This is actually this is really fucked up for me. When the podcast started, I was in a pandemic. And it was like, I didn't leave the house, right?
Yeah.
So that, like, if you can imagine what that would be like, that was a whole thing that, you know, I was going through at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's, I know it's weird, right? But don't worry. Yeah. Send us an email. Let us know, like, what's the fuck is up? And who do you remember? Like, what character do you remember? And what do you think they're doing now? You know?
Right. No, like, what do you think Constantino's doing right now?
What do you think Constantino's fucking up to, right? What's going on with him? Let us know what you think Constantino's doing now.
I think my favorite thing that happened in the whole thing was your Constantino song. Like, I think that was my favorite thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was good.
Will I re-sing the Constantino song on next episode? Probably not, but tune in to find out. And email us at theinspirationalquarterly@gmail.com and share with us all your thoughts and your wisdom. We'll take 2 weeks of silence in memoriam, and then we'll come back and we'll do a recap. And then I think what we should do is we'll see if we can get Keith on the horn for one last interview just to wrap it all up. How's that sound?
Great.
Sounds good.
What a babe. Let's get him on.
What a legend.
A legend.
What a Chad. What a man. What a real man. You know, not a lot of real men these days, but there's a real one.
Yeah.
Kara,
2 weeks. We did it. 2 weeks silence starting.
2 weeks silence.
Starting from
now.